Hey, it's your man KJ. We back. Dr. Sai, what you got for me this year?
You rocking with the village. Let's get it.
We back, y'all. 2017. Welcome to the village. Welcome to the village. It's your man, KJ. It appears that we may have somewhat lost a connection here. So what we're going to have to do, we're going to go on here. We're going to just keep it pushing. Keep things going. We still live. We still here. Let's go on ahead and refresh this here page. Hate to do this to you guys so soon, but you know, hey, sometimes it'd be like that. It's just what it is. There we go. I got Slink back. Got my brother Slink back. Got some viewers in viewership here. There we go. Slink, can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay, here we go. And see, this is what needs to be done, I guess. And then, what's good with you, brother? How you been?
Oh, man, I've been okay, man. Just kind of laying low for a minute, kind of regroup. Got ahead a couple things going on, but now I'm back and ready to grind it out hard and come back better than before.
Okay, that's what's up, man. That's what's up. So, Village, we got a bunch of topics here we're going to discuss tonight. Sorry about the little bit of confusion. Crowdcast does its own thing. Look, I'm not a technology guru, but I think I'm doing pretty well. Figured out all the sound issues, and even though I kind of got to learn how to do some switching back and forth, but you know, it all builds character. So, anywho, my brother, let's hit these topics, man. You ready to jump into these topics?
Oh, man, let's get it rolling.
All right, for sure. Let's talk about this first segment here, man. What the Trump? Let's go ahead and just jump into what Trump's got going on. So last week, we kind of see Trump bashing on his attorney general a little bit, saying he should have never recused himself, this is that, and the third, right? So I'm going to say my thoughts real quick, bro. I think Sessions did the right thing recusing himself, right? Because here's the truth of the matter. You can't investigate yourself. And to me, it's what it boils down to. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So I'll throw it to you. I'm going to go ahead, man. Tell me your thoughts. And, let's just keep it pushing. See what the village has to say in Facebook Live. All right?
Well, I agree with you, Kevin. I mean, he had no... To me, it's common sense almost. Like, it's the man... For one thing, it's a look thing. Yeah, it's a... You know, we always say, man, that look is just, that's just not a good look. You know, it's a conflict of interest. And so he did the right thing by recusing himself from that process. I mean, it just doesn't look good in the public eye, you know, and he's doing the president a favor. I mean, that's one less thing that the president would have to defend, I mean, it's part of the transparency, part of the process. There's no way you could have Sessions doing that. I mean, and then for the commanding chief to come out and be publicly bashing this man is just like, you know, he wants people to be loyal to him, but you see how he operates. He's not loyal to this man. We see the kind of guys that he wants around him. You know, Sessions is just, I mean, we all know the baggage that comes with this man, you know. And we all know, you know, his past. But by the rule of law, And the way he's trying, the way he's way Trump is trying to go about this is like, it's like you can't. It just doesn't make sense. It just can't. It just shows you he's out of touch with reality, man. You know, he's used to things being a certain way, and everybody in the government doesn't work for him. There's checks and balances, and he doesn't understand that. You know, when you used to being the boss and running the show and telling people, you know, you're fired, or you know, and there's a little, you know, this little NBC thing, but just what he does in general. I mean, in general, he's the head of $1 billion enterprise. So I mean, he calls the shots. But this is different when you're dealing with the federal government. When you're dealing with government, you know, those guys in Congress, they're there for the best of the constituents.
Yes, so exactly.
People are not going to react to you. They try to stay with the party line, but once you get to a certain point, you become almost extreme, and they can't justify that. They can't justify what you're trying to make them do, because you know, after this is all said and done, you know, they still have to go back to their constituents, and they still have to try to get reelected. So,
exactly. You know, like I said, I'm looking at him. I'm looking what he's doing, what he's trying to do. You know, like you just said it right there, bro. You know, you just said it. Gru6, I'm trying to figure out what's that. Okay, I appreciate you for sharing the brother, sharing the video. Appreciate you. But what I was going to say was, you know, he's a billion-dollar man. You know, he's used to calling the shots. He's used to doing this, that, and the third. And when he says jump, people ask how high. He's used to that mentality, right? But you're talking about the federal government, where people on both sides of the aisle don't like you, right? Yeah. There are people that do like you, but on both sides, they don't like you. And so you got to find a way to be diplomatic, got to be presidential, you got to be all these things. You can't be the rude, crude Trump that got you in the office. Granted, that's what got you in there, because the people was like, yo, I'm with this, let's do it, right? At the same time, it's like, yo, these career politicians, they're like, no, you're not going to do this. So this is what it's boiling down to. You're not going to get to do this. You're not going to have your way. That's simple.
Exactly. Because they have to go home and talk to those constituents. You run these people that are going to lose benefits and all these different things and all these changes that you're trying to make, and these things affect them directly. Those guys got to go home and live in the state with these people.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you know, and they have to do, eventually, you got to do right by those people. There's only a certain, I mean, you know, they're going to do what's in the best interest of lobbyists and different. How can I phrase it? Different. You know, like different circumstances, different agendas.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, it's different agendas. So, but there's still a line, and they're only going to go so far. This is really, it's not just that this is unorthodox and it's just something new, and they're taking a whole different approach to this administration. But it's really, you know, it's really like it's pushing the line. It's really towing that line really, really tight. It really is. I mean, and you know, it's what we've been saying all this time. It's like this. I mean, it boils back down to that president, man. You know, it's just not in touch with reality. The reality of it, and now they're starting to see it. And so after this 4 years is over, you know, they want to be able to be in control again, the Republicans. So it also has longstanding implications on them as a party too. So they're like, long after this guy is gone, this is a lot of baggage they're going to have to deal with.
Mm-hmm.
So it comes at so many levels. Yes, but all I got on it.
Okay. Yeah, man. So let's move on to this next one here, because this was one I thought was interesting. Former General Kelly, he's now the White House Chief of Staff. Right. So for the most part, anyone that wanted to see the president just kind of walked up in the office and saw him. Like, that was kind of a thing. Like I'm not pulling this out my butt. You know, Fox News reports it and CNN. Everyone reports that the president does not run like kind of like an open door policy, for lack of a better word, but only with his top people. You know, like, of course, his daughter, his son-in-law, his sons, and a few of his secretaries and stuff like that, they can kind of come in and speak to him when they need to. Now, with former General Kelly taking over, because he was running the NSA, with former General Kelly taking over as White House Chief of Staff, I foresee a definite different White House, man. I think it's going to be run a lot tighter. It's going to be there's going to be a relay of information to me that's going to be smoother. So I'm, you know, like I said, I'm not a diehard Trump supporter. I'm not. However, right? I like to see things run right. Maybe it's the military in me, I don't know, but I like to see things run smooth. And I think this is going to run a lot smoother with Kelly as White House Chief of Staff. What do you think about that?
Yeah, well, picking back on what you said, I think that's the wiseness in you. I mean, as a person, as a citizen, you want the situation to work out. You want it to turn around. So I mean, well, I have those hopes too, and I think you will have a different. I guess there, as far as discipline, as far as the way it was ran, I mean, I guess you can't get no worse than it was. So you will have some improvement. And I think that he's going to bring a general change of culture, try to change the culture within the staff there, with the aides and all that kind of stuff. And as far as them keeping things under wraps and just the professionalism, right?
Mm-hmm.
But I think he's still going to have it's still going to be uphill climb, because I think the sentiments are probably so entrenched with those people that are there. I think that he's still going to have a climb, but I mean, the possibility is there. I mean, and it is needed. I mean, there's constantly, it's every day is some kind of something coming out of there. And then the infighting is like, it's just not a good look. It just doesn't project a good image as a nation anyway, as far as our adversaries and the people that we're that we're supposed to be the leaders of the free world in the forefront.
So
when I look at it, because you think about it, I think that goes in hand also too. You see, look at all the people, all the countries that are doing things now. They see, okay, look, they're tripping over there. So now these are opportunities to make the position ourselves and posture to what we need to. You have it with Russia now being a more influential player in the Middle East, and you also have it with North Korea being more emboldened with what they're doing, with the issues that they're trying to push. So you see, you know, over time, a progression of that weakness, even though it's been like only 6 months they've been in office, but things progress day by day with this administration, when you compare it to some of the administrations in the past. So
definitely, man, because like I said, we're going to run I think we're going to see a different ship. We're going to see things run a lot smoother, and we're going to go from there. I think it's going to be quite interesting to see all the different transitions, the different things that's going to occur because of a change of the guard, basically. You know, I think we're going to see a huge difference in how things are going, how things are ran. And, that's what all I got for that one, man. I think it's going to be interesting. I think I am happy to see this change, to be honest with you. I'm very excited to see this change because I think it needed to happen. It should have happened. Someone like Kelly should have been running the White House from the jump. You know, like, if you don't have... To me, when you don't have the military experience, it's always good to have those former military guys in your realm, like that close. Like, you open the door, boom, they're here. You know what I mean? I think that's important, and I'm thankful that he does have Kelly to back him up now. So this is to me is a step in the right direction. Do I agree with his policies? No. But at least run a tight ship. At least run things smoothly. That's my take in all this. All right. Anything else you want to add to this one, man, before we move on?
Just that this could be a step towards efficiency within that office, you know. Mm-hmm. So, and to bring some stability there, stability and efficiency, you know, they need to really get surrounded by the right type of people, because they see that approaching this thing like a business is not going to work. You bring in your son-in-law and your daughter and into the fold. I mean, they have a business acumen, but when it comes to this is different. You can't run this like a business. You can't deal with foreign dignitaries and things of sort like it's a business. So American people are just not going to stand for it.
Mm-hmm.
But that's all.
All right. So let's move on to this next topic here, man. Let's talk about McCain voting no on the repeal, or what do they call it? The skinny health care bill. It was supposed to be some stipulations that they were trying to overturn and things of that nature. He voted no. And I'm talking, and this dude just was recently diagnosed with brain cancer. And he flew. What's that?
Yeah, surgery too.
Yeah. He flew to D.C. and cast his vote. And let me tell you, boy, the look on the Republicans' face, if anybody, I actually watched it live. Facebook Live was live inside the chamber, and they were casting their votes, and just the look on the Republicans' faces was priceless. I mean, because at the end of the day, those that voted are voting to repeal and replace. At the end of the day, when it's all said and done, man, they know that this isn't good. Now, I get it. You know, people want some kind of repeal, but you can't leave people without health care. And so once they figure it out in whole, I think it'll get approved. But to me, it's a anything, it's an improvement. Because I'll say this before, Obamacare, ACA, whatever you want to call it, when it was rolled out, it a lot of flaws, right? So I'm willing to admit, as a man, I'll sit here and say it, it wasn't rolled out right, it wasn't done right, but guess what? You can improve and you can build on this and go from there. What are your thoughts, bro?
Yeah, to piggyback on what you're saying, to kind of extend what you're saying, I mean, it wasn't perfect. I mean, but the thought and the gesture was in the right place. You know what I mean? The gesture is in the right place. So, I mean, you know, this, that thing's rolled out in 2010. They tried like, I think it's like 70, they've made like 70 attempts at changing it, repealing it, some sort, some form, right? And it make up something that go, I never heard of nothing skinny repeal. Nobody's going to deal with that and trust that. Skinny repeal. Okay, so I'm like, all right. You know, it took courage for that man to do that, man. It really did. You know, it's like, okay, you guys know that this is going to hurt so many people. We can't go on the word of somebody saying that, you know what, hey, you know, well, let's just stop it here and we'll do these changes here and changes there as it goes on. You guys have been trying to get that out of forever. And you had what, how long was it? You had 7 years mm-hmm. to come up. You had 7 years and you get your opportunity and everything you push towards the people is crap. Straight crap, right? And then you try to make this compromise at the end. They're not even going through the normal processes the way a bill works. They're not going through the committees. They're not doing all that stuff. They're trying to just push stuff, making these bills, right? Which is another story. But, man, I think it took a lot of courage for him to do that. And it's just like, hey, he went with, you know, with his heart. Like, look, I'm not going to hurt all these people. You guys got to come up with something better. You know, you just got to come up with something better. This is not it. Himself, Murkowski, and I can't remember the other senator's name.
Yeah, me either. But I couldn't remember. I just remember Murkowski, McCain, and it was another woman.
Another woman, yeah. So I'm just like, yeah, I'm glad that those senators stood up. I mean, we obviously know that in Congress, you know, that was going to come through anyway because of the majority. But you know that they still was some stiff, you know, in Congress, they're still, you know, they're like, this is not good. This is not good, you know, but.
Slink, you still there? Because I got no volume. I got no volume out of you. Okay, sorry about that. You know what it is? I'm going back and forth in between Facebook Live, checking comments and seeing who's joined. And then I'm looking at the Crowdcast link. So what I see is a relay. You know what I'm saying? So I'm my bad, brother.
It's all good.
So go ahead and continue what you were saying. Go ahead.
Well, that's pretty much about it, man. You know, I just think that it was real courageous and it was the right thing to do. And it sets a tone, man. I mean, I like the way he approaches things as far as that. I mean, you know, obviously I don't agree with, you know, a lot of the past stuff or policies, you know, but as far as just the way to approach the process and to stand up, I mean, I commend that. I mean, you know, that's a great thing. I mean, because a lot of people were going to be affected by that, you know, mm-hmm. and it's like, you talk to stuff to them, you let them notice, and they still don't. It's like they just doesn't. They don't care. It doesn't. It's not in our realm or something. It's just cold. Just like after that, the president's like, "Well, I'm not going to pay these. I'm not going to pay this month the monthly premium to the insurance companies. The subsidy. I'm not going to pay the subsidy that we've been paying. And now they're going to court with that and doing different stuff with that. So it's like, and they're not, and that's going to mess the markets up. So, and this is going to affect all those people, man, all those constituents, all the people that kind of, and it's going to probably hit hardest in the states that really turned the tide for him. That's the most ironic part of it. Mm-hmm. It's like, wow, man, it's like you're slapping all these people in the face. People voted for you and supported you, you know, so.
And that's the part, man, right there. You know, yeah. All these folks have voted for you, man. It was amazing to me at how many of them actually are benefiting from the Affordable Care Act. And all of a sudden they realize, yo, we actually need this to stay in place, or we need some kind of suitable replacement. And that's what people, I think, fail to realize, right? Yeah. People have failed to realize that this is helping you. And if you are not going to be a part of your own help, then you are a problem. You are a variable in your own existence of getting help. That doesn't make any sense to me. Why shoot yourself in the foot and then afterwards you like, damn, somebody please help me?
Yeah, it's ignorance. It goes back to like when a lot of people didn't even know what the Affordable Care Act, they didn't know what it was. They didn't know that and Obamacare was the same thing. It's what's on top of it, man. It's because it's Obama. Because it's that, it's that hard for some people to swallow, man. You know? So because of that, because they hear that, I think that it's like, well, yeah, we got to get this. This is bad. We got to shoot this shit down. We got to do whatever. We got to, change it. Repeal it. Oh, shit. This is affecting me.
Mm-hmm.
You're like, you shoot yourself in the foot. It's like, what kind of, but you know what? That's like, you know, the coldness of your heart got you. It's kind of almost like you kind of had that coming to you. It's kind of like, I told you that. So. Had it coming to you. You went into this for the wrong reasons, right? And now this is what you're dealing with now. You know, this is it. So, I don't know, man. But okay. I know one thing. A lot of people, man, it's not over with. There's still going to be some hagging and finagging. Now they're going to move on to the tax code now. So, we'll see what comes about with that.
Yeah, we'll see. Let's hit this last piece. Kind of a combo, but let's hit this one first here. Let's real quick. Just as much as he does bad, I will also say when he does good. Now, the economy is on the rise. Now, I don't know the ins and outs of the economy and the stock market. I just know that I do watch the stock market through various apps, CNN, Fox News, MSNBC, all the different things. Anywhere where I can watch the stock market and see how things rise and fall. And I know the difference between the rise and fall. So I understand all that. Stock market has consistently gone up, bro. So I'm definitely like, man, he may be crappy in some other places, but he understands money. And I think that's the big thing. He understands money, right? You can maybe a different position. You know, chief of commerce, if that's what it is, I don't know. Finance, I don't know what it is. President, no, doesn't do it for me. However, I will simply say, man, that I agree 100% with the economy. And I'm going to say it, man, if the economy's going up, I'll take it. You know what I mean? So what are your initial thoughts, man? Like if you heard the economy's going up under Trump, can you be mad?
No, not at all. I live here, so I'm all for it. I'm all for every citizen in here, in this country, inside of these borders to get that opportunity and to live in a prosperous land. I mean, I'm all for it. I mean, I'm happy. To piggyback on some of what you're saying to me, I absolutely agree with you when you say that he is great with business, and he's just not fit for being a president. The problem with that is, like we were saying earlier, he's just not surrounded by the right type of people. When you deal with cronyism and nepotism, this is what happens. This is what is supposed to happen. See, but see, this is a big limelight, so it happens fast. But this happens in all kind of organizations. You have nepotism and cronyism, and it eventually withers and tears the place down. But this is on a big, grand scale, and things move fast in the White House. So that's what we got. That's why we have the regime that we have and how dysfunctional stuff is now, because of those factors right there. So, but him, as far as him being a good comptroller, the dude with the money, good financier, he is good with that. That is his forte, you know. But you can't approach these other nations like that. You can't. You see it in his tweets, the ignorance and naivety. He's naive with it. You can't deal with these other nations, with China and all these other people. You can't deal with them like that, you know. You have to lean on the people that do that. That's been doing this for a living. They have they have the expertise, the knowledge in these fields, in the like foreign relations and stuff like that, foreign policy. Hey, fall on these people. Put your ego aside, you know, bring those people into the fold. And then I think you would have probably a better administration right now. So, but I'm all for the economy boosting, the economy, economy doing better. And we've seen a gradual, steady increase. I'm glad. But I'm hoping that translates to jobs, you know, to some real substance, you know, because sometimes numbers are numbers, you know. I hope it just translates to something that's really material, that's really there.
I hear you. I definitely, man, I agree. I hope with all this is said and done, man, when this is all said and done, I literally am just hoping that at the end of the day, this all gets figured out. Mm-hmm. That is all I care about, right? Just get it all figured out, man. That's it. All right?
Oh, yeah.
So, anyways, here, man, let's talk about this last little piece of what to Trump. 755 U.S. diplomats will be gone by September 1, 2017, which is exactly roughly, about 29, 30 days away. Putin is ordering this, right? He's saying, I want these U.S. diplomats out of my country. And before I continue, hold on here. Lady J, she's saying, Jermon, so are you saying that it's just a matter of time before we begin to see the economic effect of this president in a little while? What's your thoughts on that, Slink?
You know what? His international dealings, he's dealing with China and dealing with Russia. May see actually consequences of it really, really soon. I think in the short term, I think, yeah, I think we will probably be, yeah. I mean, I see the economy's doing better, but as far as like, you know how it goes when turmoil happens, you know, things fluctuate, the cost of oil, you know, there's things that kind of fluctuate because of that. But now you're dealing with issues with China. So you're dealing with one of our main trade partners. So you look at everything in your house is Chinese. I mean, you have to look at it on a small scale like that. It's going to affect a lot of stuff. Just think, because, you know, over the years, you see everything is made there. I mean, some parts of it, even not Apple stuff, even whatever, some component of it is made there. Everything. And vice versa. There's a dependency on us, too. So it's just going to lock things up for the world. I mean, it really is. So, but at least that's my opinion. I think it will. I think it's going to affect the domino effect.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So, okay. Yeah. There it is, Lady J. Got your answer. Here it is. So let me go ahead and let's throw it back to what we were just talking about. Vladimir Putin, 755 U.S. diplomats will be gone by September 1, 2017. This is my question to you. To the village, even anyone that wants to speak up, whether you're on Crowdcast, Facebook Live, or if you want to shoot us a text, 619-202-1562, let me know. Give me your thoughts. With Vladimir Putin pushing out 755 U.S. diplomats, is this a response to the Obama administration, when Obama kicked out, what was it, roughly 80 Russian diplomats. I believe they were, was it Connecticut or something, D.C.? I don't remember the place. But he's kicking out roughly 75 diplomats, Russian diplomats and stuff like that. Do you think this is a response? Do you think this is almost like a one-up? Like, psh, you can kick out 75, well, I can kick out 755. How about that? So, you know, what do you think about that?
I think it may have a, maybe that's a small piece when it comes to, Russia determining what their response was going to be to these sanctions that they were just hit with.
Mm-hmm.
Right? I believe that what we're seeing is because it is a direct, is directly because of the sanctions that Congress forced, Congress and Senate forced the president to sign. So basically he had no choice but to sign that, right? So he signed those sanctions, and the sanctions are supposedly stronger. So he already had sanctions on it from Obama administration before they left, but now there are more sanctions tacked onto this. And I think that they have some weight to them, and they're really going to affect them. So I think that has a lot to do with it. You know, expelling the diplomats out of the country, out of the embassy, and you know, I mean, so. But they didn't just shut it down. So I think that would have been the real drastic thing. But I mean, we'll see what the next move is going to be. But I know that these two countries going to be posturing amongst each other. I mean, between back and forth, tit for tat. You know, it's been that way, and it's going to continue to be that way. So the tit for tat, back and forth. But they're definitely doing it, I believe, because of those sanctions, man. Mm-hmm. They got hammered, and they didn't expect that, especially in, you know, with these meetings they had at the convention at the G, and just the last, what do you say, since he's been in office, is that this, I don't know, this, they have this bromance between the two leaders or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And Trump, and, you know, and Putin, probably, if you think about it, like we think about it on the streets or just in layman's terms, like, man, you know what? I just delivered the presidency to you, dude. I help you. I caused all this chaos and all this turmoil. I got you where you got him, where you need to be. And you didn't help me out a little bit and ease up them sanctions. Now what you did, y'all hammered me even more. You know, and now you're drawing us into it, you know, into your mess. So I think that that's why they did what they did.
Okay.
Yeah.
Hey, Slink, give me one second. I'm going to refresh your page because your video is gone. So, Village, give me one sec. We're going to refresh this page here. All right. So, I'm still here, still recording live into Audacity. So, we're recording in Audacity. No worries there.
Next time for y'all, Village.
All right. So, Slink, you back up. All right. There it is. My brother, you back. We're good to go.
Right.
So truth of the matter is, the sanctions all around is just, it's kind of like a pissing match, in my opinion. It's just a big pissing match. Well, you did this, well, I'm going to do something worse. That's all this is, man. These are just a bunch of grown men comparing hand size. I'm going to leave it at that, Village.
Escalation of egos, man.
Yeah. Yeah. That's pretty much what it is. So I am not going to sit up here and beat that one with a dead horse, because we could, you know, we could dig deep into this, but this is about sanctions and who likes who and who did what to who, and I can do one worse to you. And that's all this boils down to, man. So I'll just leave it at that. Slink, let's move on here, bro. This is something that I've been noticing a lot lately, and we're really rolling into the current events section. We got two topics to discuss in current events, and then we kind of got possibly two topics to discuss for knee-jerk reaction. Actually, I think I'm going to leave one for knee-jerk reaction. So we got three more topics, and then we're going to do some Village Idiots and call it a night, y'all. Y'all know how we do. We get it in, get it done, move out. Boom, call it a night. So anyways, Village, my first current event that I want to talk about. Now, Slink, this is something that I've been noticing here. We're seeing, to, in my opinion, a lot more of these kids attending these alternative schools. And I'm not talking about like continuation school or something like that. I'm talking about there are kids that are literally like, look, this high school type, this program or this works for me. Right. I'm talking about like these, Sylvan Learning Center and things of that nature. You got a lot of kids going to school the non-traditional route. And here's my thoughts. I think it's the future of education because not every kid learns the same. Right. Yeah. We have a lot of kids that are getting homeschooled. Right. And they got these networks of kids. And so people are like, well, what about the kids and their social interaction? Well, they're interacting with other kids. They have programs for them to interact. So they're getting all that. They're getting the education. They're just not getting all the other BS that comes along with it, which is something that I can appreciate because the missus and I have discussed it. Some homeschooling. What's that? So, yeah. So, my thought process is if this works, I would like to see more funding get pushed toward it. And I'm talking about, like, more federal money to get pushed toward it. That's what I would like to see. You know what I mean? That's what I want to see. I have no issue with how kids get educated as long as they get educated.
Yeah.
So, what are your thoughts about that, man? Go ahead.
Yeah, we all are differently, and these scholars are basically understanding this. You know, there's a shift, a change with the way education is starting to be viewed in this country, and it's refreshing, I think, because it gets down to recognizing that there are different ways we all learn differently. There's probably but four or five different ways that we all learn, you know, some visual, some by, you know, but they hands on, you know, it varies. Right. And we all learn. You can't have a standardized, just a box and put everybody inside of that box. And so they're realizing that, you know, so, and I commend them for it. I commend them for taking a step. And I agree with you. I think that federal dollars should be put towards that, you know, I mean, me as a person that pays taxes, you, I mean, hey, I believe in education and I believe in a strong education for our youngsters. And because I believe that basically they are our future. Mm-hmm. We want us to be competitive in the world. I mean, you have to think about the future. You have to have our kids competitive, you know, with these other nations around the world so they compete. I mean, so it's a global marketplace, a global world. Everything's interconnected. They have to be able to compete. So you want the most, the best for them. I mean, it doesn't take much. I mean, to put a little bit at the side and put more into education and you'll see, you know, you'll see the benefits. I mean, tenfold, man. I mean, it makes a better world for everybody. So I'm down with it for sure.
Okay. So. Okay. Yeah, that was basically me, man. I just want to say there's, like I said, there's different ways to learn. And I think as long as these kids are learning, I say mush on. I say, let these kids learn. Let them. Not every kid can sit in these classrooms. You got these kids with ADD, ADHD, whatever you want to call it, right? I don't know the ins and outs of all that stuff, but you got these kids with these. I hate saying disabilities, but learning issues, right? Sometimes they can't sit. Sometimes a kid can only take 15, 20 minutes at a time, and then they got to get up and move around and do something. But it still doesn't say they're not learning. Exactly. Right. And the ultimate goal is they need to learn. And that's what I don't think people understand is you can't force these kids to learn the way that you did. Not everyone is the same. My kids are way, way different than me. My son goes to Kumon. Right. Which is dope. Like, it's super dope. They're teaching him like just making sure he has the basics down. He starts school in a couple of weeks. He's going to go into school stronger because of this program. Right. And there are kids in there. His age group look just like him. All walks of life. And these kids are in there learning and they get it. They walk out. They feel accomplished. They got a smile on their face. Right. Nobody wants to send their child to school and they upset because they're just like, man, I don't want to be here.
Yeah.
Right. What parent wants to send their child to school and be like, hey, man, just go figure it out. Just get through the day. No.
That's not what it's about. It's not what it's about. But there are a lot of kids in that circumstance. Just figuring it out. Just go figure it out. You know, and it's not good, you know. And it's sad that, you know, getting education lots of times in this country is like, hey, I got to, you know, it depends on where you're living at or what district you're in. You know, it's like, especially public education, you know, so. But there are a lot of changes, man. It's way different. And it's getting better as time goes on, man. I mean, I think that just open minds, people going outside of the paradigm, thinking outside of that and just taking a couple pages from different nations around the world, you know, and I commend them for that. And they need to keep doing that. I mean, education is key, man. That is the key. You want to have a strong country, you invest in that education, man. I mean, I understand investing in the weapon technology and all this other stuff and you know, and social programs that are needed and, you know, all this stuff that the government does, right? But more needs to be really put into opportunities, need to be put more into in our educational systems, man. That's the key. They really are, man. I mean, it's the key to keeping a strong country, man. We want to keep the country, but we want things to get better, and they can't get better. You got these educated people in here, man.
That's it, man. Just let these kids figure it out. Let them do what's, I hate to say this, man, but in a sense, kind of let them kind of gear this towards them. They'll figure it out.
Give them the proper tools and let them run with it.
Exactly. Give them the tools and let them figure it out, man. You'd be amazed at what these kids will learn, what they'll learn if you would just allow them to learn the way that they feel that they're going to receive it right. Right? Because for me, I remember sitting in them classes and being like, how much longer do I got to be here? Right? I think if I would have had these programs, I think I would have been a different level of education. I think it would have been for me. Because I didn't want to be in those classrooms. I didn't want to be there. And that affected how I received the information. Because I went into the classroom not wanting to receive the information. If I could have received it on my terms, I'd have been a different kid, man. Granted, I still came back, finished college, whatever. I got my degree, whatever. It is what it is. But what I'm saying is, in that moment, what could have changed? That could have changed my life. That could have been a game changer for me. That's what I'm saying. So, anything else on this one, Slink, before we move on, bro?
I agree with you totally, man. I mean, 100%, man. You know, I feel you when you say, you know, like, man, I wasn't feeling that, didn't want to be in class. I mean, and how it's going to affect you absorbing the material that they're giving you. I mean, because when you're in that tense mode in class or anything, when you're not really 100% receptive to it, and you're just not in the zone, you're not in there. I mean, you're there physically, but mentally your mind's on something else that's distracting. You're not going to absorb what you need to get. You know, it's like it's a rough surface that you're presenting to that information, vice a smooth surface, which you're being really, you know, with it being presented to you the proper way, the smooth surface, you're gonna take it all in, you know, and it was, you know how it is. It was one way. It's just memorize this. This is what you got to do. And that's it. You know, but there's a different way of learning. There's a way of learning that is true learning, where they take it in and it's a lesson that they're going to keep. And it's something that stays with you for a lifetime. Mm-hmm. That's what you want. It was not just memorizing stuff. So, but yeah, that's about it, man. I could go on and on.
Yeah, I could too. But like I said, we could go on and on. But I'm just know that I'm 100% on board with these kids learning the way that they need to learn. 100%. It ain't got to be like everybody else. I'm to hell with that logic at this point. To hell with that. So let's move on to this next current event here. Dog, North Korea done lost their rabbit ass mind. I'm going to go ahead and say it. I'm going to say it. North Korea done lost their rabbit ass mind. They shooting missiles into the air. And here's the other kicker to that. It's causing FAA issues. Like the planes that fly in the sky, it's affecting the FAA. Because ain't nobody going to tell them that they can't fire these missiles off. What we don't need is an international incident, right?
Yeah.
But this is an issue. They said that they have a missile that can hit California, where I live, where I'm home, too.
Yeah, yeah. So they got something that can go up into the middle of the country, too.
Mm-hmm.
So, I wonder about this. I'm like, man, do you really realize? See, that could, I mean, I think previous regime, previous administrations, they were kind of like, okay, you know, but I think with this administration, I think this is probably the wrong administration for Korea to be. It's the timing, where they've progressed to. And I'm going to tell you about their stuff, man. I've done a lot of research. Their stuff is really rudimentary. I'm not going to lie to you. The third, fourth, old generation stuff, everything they have, even the missiles that say they can reach here, I'm not, when it comes to, I'm really not, I hate to say that, not worried about that. But when I do the research and know what we have and what they have, and it's nothing. But the thing is, what it opens up is, it opens the opportunity for an administration that's already in turmoil. You need distractions. Our country works off distractions. So you just gave us the biggest distraction that could take them, take the focus off of the domestic chaos, domestic policy that's just going awry, and give them something, a huge accomplishment. Because the Korean War is technically not over. We're at an armistice with that country. This is something huge on their plate that they can be like, hey, look what I did. Is Trump or is this administration? We got rid of that. Got rid of that. That pest that's been. That's been here since Nixon. We got rid of the pest. So this is what we did, and that's something that that's a legacy type thing that you could trump, and you could put that up when everything else is failing. They're going to get desperate, because think about it, Trump's going to be getting investigated. There's going to be impeachment stuff that's going to be going on. All this stuff is going crazy. You can't even get a communications director in here for a week. Mm-hmm. I'm telling you. They need a distraction, and this is the perfect distraction, because we can and will overwhelm the shit out of that country. I don't care what they put in the news to try to distract you. If you get on, it's right there on the internet, but go beyond the news. Go searching. Go to these pages, military pages, and go look at what these experts say. We'll blow them out of the water. Like, but the thing is, people in Seoul, Korea, South Korea, those are the people that are going to suffer. Maybe Japan. But I think South Korea, because they're close. They're close to that demilitarized zone. They're closer than, to tell you, Kev, they're closer than the distance from where we live at to L.A., way closer. I'm talking about like from probably your house to Oceanside close, if closer, or let's say Mira Mesa close from your house. It's like 30 miles or some shit like that.
Mm-hmm.
So it doesn't, you know, we've been in the military. We know that's nothing.
Nope.
That's nothing to touch them over there. So the thing is, I think that this is the perfect. They lost their mind, and they're falling right into it. This may be the perfect distraction, man. I hope that I'm wrong, but they do one more thing, man. I think it's about to be on and popping.
I hope you're wrong too, bro. That's all I can say. Yeah. That's it.
Yeah.
You know, I don't want to beat that one too much, because, like I said, they can hit California. If you're saying you can hit California, you know, you need to be taken serious. This is not a game and a joke. Figure out your life. Figure out your existence. We got to figure us out, because this, what we don't need is a damn missile going off in downtown San Diego or Houston, Texas, not. Chicago, Illinois, yeah. New York, Miami, yeah. Florida. We don't need nothing like that. We got to figure this out, bro. That's simple.
I'm telling you, man, they're about to pulverize them dudes, man. They're about to pulverize them. If you know, the only thing they gotta do is send one of them damn bombers, one of those Ohio class submarines, man. Them things are like death machines, man. That's like the devil's work. I ain't gonna lie. That is one of the worst. It's on our side, but that is one of the most devastating creations in mankind. If you don't know what I'm talking about, go look it up. What this country has in that damn that Ohio class submarine. Just one of the silos, man. That thing, one missile could hit like 20 something cities, man. I'm telling you, it's deadlier than the stuff that we have on the continent on the ground.
Mm-hmm.
And you can't find those subs. I'm telling you, it's nasty, man. So
I know
we got a lot of nasty things, man. So I think that it's the kind of war that you don't want to fight this country in. I'm just gonna put it like that. It's the kind of military versus military. One big military against another one. Your forces, my forces. You're not going to stand a chance. Only thing that works against this country is guerrilla warfare. That's it, and that works to a limit. I mean, it just tears up wherever you're at. But I mean, you're a man that's been in the dirt, so you know what I'm talking about.
Mm-hmm.
But it's still a threat. You still have to take it right. I agree with you on that. I mean, it's still a threat. They say, you know, it's like a duel, man. In the streets, man. If you got a gun and you pull that out on another dude, you know where I'm going with that. You put it's like cowboys. You pull out a gun, you better use it.
Yep.
So it you didn't escalate it to a level that there's no turning back to. You know, so
and that's unfortunate.
And that's pretty much almost where we are with this. You even have congressman coming out saying, who was it? I don't want to misquote which congressman said. I don't know if it was Lindsey Graham. One of the congressmen was like, look, he's like, only way to deal with them is to go after them. Is to basically bomb their asses and not just check this out, not just the regime. He said the whole country. That's the kind of states that are here. And not just gonna go after that dude. They're gonna annihilate them.
Mm-hmm.
It's like they better stop it, man. The dude thinks he's a god anyway, you know, and that's the way he's brought up and got, you know, so I mean, you're not dealing with somebody that's rational. So and I think they're taking that in consideration too. They're not gonna wait.
Yeah. So, that's definitely that.
Protect my family. It ain't perfect over here, but protect my family.
That's it. That's it, man. Just got to look out, and hopefully everything works itself out the way that it's supposed to, and we can go from there. But I'm just saying, at the end of the day, this definitely needs to be addressed in one way or another. So we gonna, you know,
the sanction stuff is not working. Built up under that stuff doesn't work. It's still ahead.
You know, in my opinion, man, the sanctions do nothing but piss people off.
Yeah, they do. Yeah, that's all it does. And they find other ways to go around it, man. They find other ways. It just makes them mad. It makes them resent you even more and go around. They go around it. Sanctions don't work, man. Unless you're an individual and they go in and it ties up your bank accounts and they get all your stuff, then it messes you up. But as a country, man, as an entity, as big as a country or government, they could go around that, man. And it's proven. China and them, they just went around that shit. It's like, man, whatever. Mm-hmm. And the whole time they're figuring, they're thinking, oh yeah, the sanctions, we've got them under control with that. No, they kept doing what they were doing, man.
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
that's it. Yeah. Kept doing what they was doing. All right, man. Hey, Slink, my brother, let's move on to this next topic here, man. Let's move on to this. This is a knee-jerk reaction. We're going to kind of, I wanted to push forward to this one because I wanted to give it some time, right? We've all seen the thing going on with Colin Kaepernick. I have so much that I want to discuss with Colin Kaepernick. As Black Americans, have we kind of subtly pushed Colin Kaepernick into a leadership role? I mean, think about it. The man took a stance against police brutality, against people of color, right? He said, you know what? I'm going to put my money where my mouth is. He puts money into this stuff. He's now pretty much been blacklisted from the NFL. If you look at all the players, the QB specifically, that have gotten contracts over him, it is absolutely nauseating.
Yeah, they garbage too, boy.
Nauseating.
Boy, they garbage, boy. Who are they garbage?
Sanchez. The butt fumble.
Butt fumble, man.
He has a contract.
Mallet. Bortles. There's a couple other garbage news that I've heard.
Mm.
You know, a couple garbage ones, man.
It's ugly. But here's the question, though, Slink. Like I said, have we pushed him into a leadership role? Do you think he's kind of slid into that leadership role, like, inadvertently? Like, look, in his mind, he was just like, look, I'm going to do something about this. I have a platform. I'm going to use my platform, and I'm going to be powerful with it. But now people are like, yo, Cap, what's up? What you think about this? Let's get your thoughts on this. Okay, you going to organize this? Let's get after it. Black leadership. Did we inadvertently put him in a position of black leadership? What are your thoughts?
Well, Man, I don't know, man. I think by him stepping up like that, inadvertently pushed him into that, or he slipped into that. I mean, I think by him stepping up in such a big, on such a big arena, and, you know, he has a big stage, you know, so I think him just stepping up like that, it kind of automatically kind of thrust that upon him, even if he doesn't want that or not. But his actions, regardless if he wants that or not, or if he, you know, if he walks around saying, yeah, I'm a leader or whatever, I think that he truly is, by just his actions, he's stepping up, doing the things that he's done, that he did for Somalia, and the things that he's done here, and the things he's done here. It's a long list of things too. A lot of good this kid's done. So, I mean, I don't know. I don't know if I know me personally is a black man. I don't look at him as like. I don't know, man. I don't know. I think because of my age, I look at it a little differently. Mm-hmm. I see him as a person that by his actions he's a leader, right? But I see him not as a leader. I see him as, I don't know, man. I think he's just courageous, and I think that you're a leader in general just by doing that. Hey, you don't have to be a superstar, celebrity, whoever, to be a leader. I think in general he's a leader. But I think that as far as like taking on, okay, I'm gonna take all y'all on my back, I don't know if that's the way I kind of see it. But I think that more people need to do what he's doing. I mean, because he showed true grit, man, because there's a lot at stake that he just said, you know what? I don't care. I don't care about these enforcements. I don't care if I ever play again. I'm standing up for what I believe in, and I'm standing up for what's right. You know, and it takes a lot of courage, man, to do what he did, man. There's hundreds of thousands of people booing at this dude, man. Mm-hmm. And I'm serious. I mean, I'm talking that on a human being level. Like, we could say, man, I don't care, whatever, they can say what they want. But you know, you're going to every stadium, every game, and people booing at you, same fans, and you're ignoring that, being professional, people are yelling some, and I know they're yelling some bad stuff to him. You know, and also, you know, the dude, he comes, he does his thing, puts his money where his mouth is, like you said, you know. So I mean, I believe he's a leader, but I don't know if I would consider him like that, like some, like, I don't know. Al Sharpton, I don't know. I mean, me personally, as a man's black man, I don't need nobody to lead me. I lead mm-hmm. myself, and I do what I need to do. So that's why I feel like that, you know. Mm-hmm. I don't need nobody to lead me, Kev. I lead myself, and we lead each other as men, as black men. I don't need nobody to lead me, dude. I mean, shit. You know, Vietnamese don't got a Vietnamese leader. I don't need that. I'm a man, and I'm a strong enough man that's been through a lot of stuff and still going through stuff. I look at that differently. But I do believe in, if we all have this mindset, or even close to me trying to just hold ourselves accountable a little bit, I think we all and keep ourselves educated and try to spread the news and spread the word, I think we all good. I think we all a bunch of leaders up in this town. So that's just the way I feel about it. Sorry, I get so long.
No. You're fine, man. Because look, I'm not saying that he is leader. In my opinion, he's kind of stepped into that role. Like I said, he stepped into that role inadvertently, right? But on another podcast that I listened to, this one brother said, you know, you got to think about it. Back in the day, you know, the 60s, like, you know, black men kind of fell into these categories of, you follow Dr. Martin Luther King, you follow Malcolm X, you go into the military. You know, we had these kind of these lanes, you know what I mean, that people kind of fell into just because, right? Like, this is what they kind of, they gravitated towards, that type of, that walk of life, right? And so that's why I say, I feel like, is he leadership, right? Is he falling into that role? And I think in my mind, in my heart of hearts, I think he's falling into that lane of a leadership role. He didn't try to do it. I don't think it was that's what he initially started out to do. He literally was like, look, man, this is a problem. This is a problem, and I have a platform. I'm going to say something about it. And that's why I think he inadvertently fell into that leadership role. Jesse Williams, another brother, kind of fell into that leadership role, right? He made that speech at the BET Awards, and the next thing you know, you see the picture of him and Harry Belafonte. Belafonte is passing him the baton.
Giving him the torch, pass it
on. Yeah. Like, look, y'all, like, we got somebody with this one. We got somebody. Let's go. Let's do it. Let's move. Let's go. You know, like, because you say, man, you have you, right? Yeah. We do have leaders in our community. They're not as prominent as Martin Luther King, Malcolm X. You know, they're not prominent, but. Yeah. I'm thinking in my lifetime, man, I think we're going to see a real revolution, and we're going to start seeing some things. We're going to start seeing some people that's like, look, no, you're not going to do this, right? And they're going to get more of a limelight. They're going to get the big camera time, and they're not going to be bought and paid, right? Because honestly, I don't see Kaepernick being signed this year. And with that in mind, Village, I need y'all to know, I'm not watching football if Kaepernick's not signed. I'm done. I'm definitely not watching football this season. Straight up.
Baltimore's been talking to him, right?
Yeah, they've been talking to him, but, you know, I don't see him getting signed. And if he's not signed, I'm not watching football this year. Plain and simple. I'm gonna put my money where my mouth is, right? I invest my money in the NFL. What's that?
That's with that package.
Yeah.
That's with that package.
Well, I got a package, just not that package, but I got a package.
I hear you, bro.
But I'm not investing my money in that if you know, I'm not gonna do it. I'm not gonna invest my money into something that doesn't believe that this is happening. When we see video evidence after video evidence after video evidence that this does happen, right? This does happen to people of color. Notice again, Village, when I say people of color, not just black people. This happens to our Latino brothers and sisters. This happens. We are treated differently than anybody else. That's a fact. That is a verifiable fact that we are treated differently than anybody else. Now, if you want to argue with me, that's fine. You see the link on the Facebook Live. You guys can click on the link, join the Crowdcast show, and you know, we can debate it from there. And that's going on for the future. Or any topic. You want to debate me or say what you got to say? Come say it. I'm good with that. I am the type of person I can look at you and be like, hey, we going to agree to disagree. But I will present facts. It takes a matter of seconds to look up stuff. I present facts. That's how I do stuff. And if y'all think I'm playing, go to FBI Crime Table 43 and look at the stats. Go check it out. There it is.
Get a knowledge out.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, one last thing I want to say. Kind
go ahead.
Piggyback on that, what I was saying earlier. Like, I just want to make it clear. Like, when I say that, like, you know, I don't need a black leader or Vietnamese leader. What I mean is, like, I mean, I know every community. I mean, you have to have leaders. I mean, that's how we organize. That's how all this stuff happens. You know, right? But my main thing with that, and what I mean in that is accountability. One day, you never know what you. Kevin, me, somebody, you may be just, it may just happen, just like Kaepernick, just like Colin, you know, that role may just fall upon you. Before you know it, you're in that role. So you have to carry, my thing is you carry yourself as a leader. Not perfect, no angels, no, we all live life and things happen. But I'm just saying, just try to, you know, everybody had that little accountability, like, look, you know, look. And it's really small. It's as simple as being knowledgeable about the world around you, but knowing what's going on. I mean, you know, like I tell Kev, I'm like, I'm not the most political person, but I have to follow these things so I can know what's going on, so I can make the right maneuvers in this life for myself and for my family. So it's just about being accountable, you know, and I think that, you know, leaders are needed, you know, I mean, yeah, of course, but we all have that leadership in us too. We're all leaders. And, and sometimes we sell ourselves short. We don't even understand the capabilities and the possibilities that are within us. and we have to uplift one another, and when we see just the, see that little tiny sparkle in that other person's eye, you need to tell them about that and uplift that, because that person may have never heard that and didn't even know they had that sparkle, but you may have just set that fire ablaze by that one little spark. So mm-hmm. that's what we have to do with each other. You know, we got to come together. People just have to come together, man.
That's it, bro. That's it. Yeah. I mean, we could go and just dig on this all night, bro, because this is a topic that I tell people is near and dear to my heart. Leadership, man. That's what we need. You get leadership, you get togetherness. You get togetherness, you see change.
Yeah.
That's how all this stuff happens. And I get exactly what you're saying, Slink. I get it. You know, you run your house. You are the leadership of your home, your environment, your world, right? I get that. But there are so many black men and women out there that need that in their life. They need that leadership. They need to have a mentor. They need to have all these things. And that's why I'm saying people like Jesse Williams, Kaepernick, right? Young blood in their 30s. This is what we need. We need some young blood. I'm not putting down Jesse Jackson. I'm not putting down Reverend Al Sharpton. I'm not putting that man down. I'm not putting down what they do, their legacy, right? Because they've been there. But sometimes to appeal to people, they need someone that's closer in their age. They understand the message better. You know what I mean? It relays better to them. You got a brother that shows up wearing a suit, right? That's out there marching with you in a suit. He doesn't always appeal to the young brothers, right? He's going to appeal to the ministers, the reverends. Okay, let's march and do this right. But you go out there in a t-shirt, some jeans, and you talk with that bravado that, hey, let's do this. Let's get behind this and let's do right. Man, these cats is going to listen, man. It's psychological, right? You see someone that looks like you and he's actually talking some knowledge and some common sense. Bro, you can get behind that. I know I can get behind that.
Yeah, it's easy to get behind that. Yeah.
You know, that's all I'm saying. I feel like I'm a leader in my own right. I feel like I'm trying to do things within my own community. I feel like I'm trying. I do my best. You know, do I fall short? Yes, I do. I'm a human being. So I fall short. But at the end of the day, man, like, this is such a huge thing to be a leader, to step up and say, you know what? I'm willing to take the fall. I'm willing to go blow for blow with you if I have to. I'm willing to watch your house all night long and make sure nothing happens to you and your family, right? We got to be willing to do those things. And so black leadership, Colin Kaepernick, I think he stepped into that role inadvertently, but I think it's going to be suit him well. Jesse Williams, same thing. He stepped into that role. It's going to look good on him. And that's how I feel, man.
Natural, man. Mm-hmm. You can see it. Natural to them. That's what they're supposed to be doing.
Yeah. Exactly.
I'm with them all the way, too.
Yep. Any final thoughts on this, man, before we hit some Village Idiots and call it a night?
No, I'm good, man. I'm good with that.
Okay. Okay. So here it is. Let's jump into this first Village Idiot, man. This first one. I mean, Let's go ahead and pull this up real quick here. All right, let me go ahead and head over to Crowdcast, and I'm going to go ahead and do a screen share. So much easier on the damn Windows program. My God, so easy. All right, here we go. Idiot Islamophobes mistake empty bus seats for burqa-wearing women. Let that sink in. This is what they saw right here, y'all. Village, this is what they saw. Let me go ahead. Let me focus the screen on this a little bit better just so you guys can understand.
Wow. Wow.
Yeah, bro.
That's funny, man.
Yeah. Wow.
That's the only thing I can say, man. Wow.
Wow.
So, Oh my God.
That hurts. This hurts my soul, bro. You can't be that stupid. You just can't be that stupid.
Yes, indeed.
Goodness gracious.
Every day another one that, hey, damn.
Yeah, man. Damn. Can I read? I'm sorry, Sam. Go ahead.
What did they do? I mean, they call the cops on them?
Well, let's read some of the story here. You never know who was underneath, maybe terrorists with weapons here. They saw only what they wanted to see, obviously. Members of a Norwegian Facebook group reportedly mistook a photo of empty bus seats for a group of six burqa-wearing Muslim women and responded with a slew of racist comments. Journalist Johan Slatovic shared the snap to the Fredrinlandet Vidigeist group, which translates roughly as Fatherland First. What do people think about this? He said in the accompanying caption last week. Slatovic was curious to see what the members' reaction to his little practical joke of sharing the old internet meme would be, he told HuffPost via Facebook. The group's members often use the forum to complain about what they believe is a recent influx of Muslims into the country, according to Mashable. While some of the closed group members appeared to understand Slatovic's joke, it also sparked an avalanche of hateful replies that seemed to take it seriously. You can never know who is underneath, wrote one commenter, according to the local. Maybe terrorists with weapons. Other members reportedly described the image as tragic, disgusting, and proof of Norway's Islamization. I mean...
Let's see.
How stupid...
Bubbling. That bigotry was bubbling. It's just the simplest thing. It just... That's like a... Oh, man. You caught a shadow on the side of their eyes, man. It just, they let it loose.
Bruh.
You know what I mean? They did that prematurely.
I can't even. I noticed you had to sit up because you realize how crazy that was.
That's crazy, bro. I'm like, come on, man. Bus seats. Bigots.
I'm just. Ugh. All right. This next story here. What's that Slink?
Love in the world, man. Give me some love. This is hating the bus seats.
Mm-hmm.
Burgers. Mistaken bus seats for burgers.
All right. Next story here. Next story. Let's go ahead and highlight that, and then we're going to head back over here to Crowdcast, and we're going to screen share, baby. Boom. Got a lot of screen share. Woman fell from balcony during threesome after argument over position. Hey. International story. Another one. Two women in Germany are in the hospital with broken bones after a threesome with a man went badly wrong. The first woman suffered broken bones in her feet and legs after she toppled 10 foot from a balcony. It is believed moments before the fail, the two women had been arguing about their respective positions in the three-way interaction. Her friend screamed and ran down the stairs to help her, slipped and broke bones in her arms and neck. Paramedics arrived at the apartment in Breisig, where the man explained what happened. A newspaper commented on the incident. They better try bondage next time. Police said the female victims of the sex game gone wrong were both naked. They added that the man in the threesome told them that during the lovemaking, there was a position quarrel with one of the ladies leaning against the balcony railing, which led to her plunge. Police added that it was an accident and that no charges will be pressed. The name and ages of the victims will not be released to spare their embarrassment, added police. Mm-hmm. Yep.
Damn. Oh, You can't even make this shit up.
You can't. You cannot make this up, bro.
This is
one of those stories you're just like, well, I mean, hey, it worked out in the end. I mean, I think it worked out in the end.
Somebody got permanently hurt. Damn.
I think the chick with the neck injury.
That was getting it in, man. It was on the doggy. The recent one was back there. Fighting. Damn. Sharon is caring, man.
Mm-hmm. Sharon, yeah. Sharon is caring. Like, yeah.
Man.
Slink, you want to hit this last story, bro? I gotta bring it on home.
I gotta bring it on home.
Hold on 1 second, Village. Sorry about that extra noise. I forgot to release that prior to. Anyways, final story. Final Village idiot. Let's go on ahead and we're going to screen share one more time here. Screen share. Once again, I forgot my body washes. I forgot my lotions. You know what I'm going to do, Slink? When I finish this last story, I'm going to run in and go and grab one of my lotions. Or, I'm sorry, one of my my products and show it to the Village. So, you know, once we're done with this story, I'll give you a few minutes to just talk to the Village. Because I got to bring. So, last story here. Police, Florida man sits on gun, shoots himself in the penis.
Oh. Damn.
Yeah. Woo. It's kind of important.
Yes, it is.
Jacksonville. Oh, Florida. A Florida man accidentally shot himself in the penis when he sat down on a gun in the driver's seat in his car. Several television news stations report that the Jacksonville Sheriff's Office said the man ran into his girlfriend's house Friday after the gun discharged, saw that he had a wound in his groin, and took him to the hospital where he underwent surgery. The sheriff's office said the 38-year-old man has a previous conviction for cocaine possession and now faces charges of being a felon in possession of a firearm. So not only did you shoot yourself in the penis prior to going to jail, but, you know, you're about to go to jail.
Oh, man. That's like Plaxico. At least Plaxico didn't shoot himself in the wee-wee.
He shot himself in the leg, bro. Yeah, man.
That's like, man, that's insult to injury, man. You hurt yourself, and then, you know, you ain't supposed to be in possession of that firearm, man. You end up getting hurt, and you going to jail.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they gonna get you too.
Yeah,
they need that free label, man. They gonna get you, dude.
Nah, bro, that's a wrap. All right, so Slink, do me a quick favor, bro. I want you to go ahead and tell the Village how they can get a hold of you, man. Tell them all about BeatStars. Tell them about everything you got going on. I'm literally going to go run and grab a product real quick, and then I'll be right back. All right, guys? Slink, tell everybody about everything.
Yeah, okay. All right, Village. You know, I'm Slink Ryan Stone, music producer. So doing some music, some projects and stuff. A lot of stuff coming out. I'm going to be reorganizing my BeatStars page. You can find me. Just type in, go to BeatStars.com. I'm Slink. And you can find me there. And you can also, I'm at... at Slink Rhinestone, or catch me on Facebook. I'm all over the place, Facebook. And also, if you want to listen to some real, real good music from myself and some other artists, some artists that are mainstream artists that you may be fans of, go check out SoundCloud. Got some good stuff on there. My collection is pretty deep. A lot of those songs are going to be used by various artists in the industry and in some projects. So, Kev's back.
All right, so I am back. Before we get into the closing notes for the show, guys, I just want to say thank each and every last one of you guys for tuning in. So here is the product I've been telling you guys about. Let's go ahead and let me click back over to the Crowdcast link here. Okay, so this is my new product. This is a soap ball. Literally, it's soap. It has a loofah in the middle, and it's scented. There's different scents. This one in particular is lavender with the lavender flakes in it. If you can't really see the great detail, but you guys can see the loofah right here in this area. That's loofah and that is Lavender Flakes. This is the soap itself. You guys, ladies, you take a shower with it. Gentlemen, you take a shower with it. We talk about a good smell. It's a good thing. Get your scrub on. And, yeah.
Gotta keep it nice, baby.
You know?
Boom. Got some shea butter in that thing? Got some shea butter ones?
Oh, I'm making all kinds of different stuff. I actually got to head up to L.A. Here real soon. Head up to L.A. and I'm going to be looking for some African oils and different scents. I'm going to start making some different ones. You know, like I said, dog, this is a grind, bro. This government job, this federal job, it's for the birds, man. I'm doing this long. My 9 to 5 fuels my 5 to 2 o'clock in the morning. That's how I feel about it.
Right. I've been real happy since I've been gone from there. I'm not going to lie to you.
Bruh.
It's a transition, bruh, but you working on a great thing, and man, great things are going to happen, and I'm going to help you as best I can to help you get to your dreams, man.
I appreciate you.
And try to get my dreams going too,
bruh. Hey, oh, we're going to get it together, bruh. We're going to do it. So, sure. Village, that's all we got for tonight. You heard Sling talk about Beat Stars, all that good stuff. If you want to get a hold of us on Twitter, Lady J, boom, made me write everything down, typed out, ready to go. Lady J, or I'm sorry, if you want to get a hold of me on Twitter, I'm at Enlighten My Mind. Slink is at Slink Grindstone. Chance will be back on the show in a little bit. It's kind of summer break. He's a little bit busy, so he'll be back. But just guys know, if you go check out the Facebook page, he's on the Facebook page, still posting stuff, still doing it, yada, 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 so on and so forth. Y'all can still get at him through Facebook. He's still posting up. Y'all go holler at, see what he's posting. The Welcome to the Village podcast can be heard on Stitcher Radio, iTunes, and Podomatic by simply searching Welcome to the Village. The show is also on Tumblr, but if you want to find the show on Tumblr, head over to johnsumkl2004. That's my blog. When I initially made the Tumblr blog, it was literally for me personally, but I turned it into Welcome to the Village. So if you search johnsumkl2004, you'll find links to Welcome to the Village on Tumblr. Crowdcast replays can be viewed on Welcome to the Village YouTube channel and Google Plus by searching Welcome to the Village. Additionally, the show can be viewed on Tumblr by searching johnsumkl2004. Google phone number 619-202-1562. You can email us at welcometothevillage@gmail.com. Website, check out the website. Check it out, check it out, check it out. Welcometothevillage.com. Tune in every Wednesday, 8 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, and every Saturday morning at 8 a.m. Pacific Standard Time for live shows on Crowdcast. If you're a business owner and you are looking to advertise your brand, your business, your company, whatever have you, if you're looking for advertisement that's affordable, head over to Fiverr, Fiverr.com, and search johnsumkl2004, and you will find all of our packages on Fiverr. Go check out Fiverr. And lastly, head over to Etsy, search Welcome to the Village, or Loving Chanel, all one word, exactly how it sounds, LOVINGSHANELLE. You will see links to our wristbands, our t-shirts, and these folks, ladies, gentlemen, I'm going to be posting these here sooner than later. Bam, get you some. Hustle, man, right in front of your face. This is what I do all day, every day. Ain't nothing changed. All right? So, Village, get after it. Get at us. Let us know what you think, okay? As the saying goes, Slink, great show, my brother. Great show. As the saying goes, we love you. We thank you. God bless you. You guys have a great night. Bye.
You rocking with the Village. You rocking.
get it.